Listen, as we get into this today, last week's sermon was on the value of your scars and how that as you've went through things in life and as you've experienced things in your life and as God has healed those things inside you, God absolutely wants to use those things to impact this world. See, you are the reflection of Christ in the flesh. So the things that God has done through you, you're to use them in your everyday life to bring those that are hurting and lost to Christ. Today's message is healing the wounds that are still open and the things that still cause us pain and the things that are still going on in our lives that we say, you know what, God, I feel like I'm still in bondage and I can't get through this. I can't be who you want me to be unless you heal these things in my life. This message today, you must hear it in the spirit or you will take offense to it. One of the reasons I have been struggling with this message is because I know I've been in this situation and I know what it's like to have somebody tell me the truth and for them to tell me, listen, John, the truth is going to set you free, but feel so bound up by the enemy that seemed like a lie to me. And so I would take offense to it. So some of you here today will take offense to this. If you don't, we're going to do something real quick. I want everybody to raise your right hand. Is that everybody? I want you to put it over your left shoulder. Far back here. I want you to grip that sword that's behind you, and I want you to pull it out. I want you to lay it down. Here's the thing. Have you ever heard somebody say to you, maybe you've heard it on television, maybe you've seen it on a movie, but they say, you know what? If I could just receive justice, I would find my healing. I would find closure. Well, you know, I've seen that many times through my life, and you see that people find that justice and they find that what was supposed to be closure. And here's the thing. The enemy wants to distract you with this thing called justice. He wants to distract you and make you believe that you're owed something. And when he does that and when we find that justice and there's still that unrest in our spirit, it's because we're trying to battle something with this sword that we just laid down. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to hear this message. Hear it with healing in mind and not retribution. Y'all hear me, church? Retribution will cause you to be offended. I need you to open your spiritual ears and hear this message with the Spirit. So as we get started, wounds. Listen, we've all experienced them. Some of the wounds in our life require very little attention. And some of them seem like they consume our every waking moment and demand your every waking moment to be able to heal this wound in your life. Not only can they affect you, but they might even dictate the way you live your everyday life. Listen, they will cause issues in your relationships, and they will rob us of our joy and the peace that God wants for us to experience on a daily basis. Listen, church, this is a spiritual battle. Your flesh is going to want to rise up and oppose the remedy that will require us to crucify our flesh on a daily basis. Ephesians 6:12 says this. It says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle with powers in heavenly places. Right? So your battle's not against the one that you hold a grudge against. I know it seems like that. Satan is your accuser and Satan is your enemy's accuser. Listen, as I was preparing this, I thought, God, listen, this is going to be a little bit hard because it's hard for me to prepare it, but I need them to know your heart. Listen, God's desire isn't to require things of you that are going to be difficult, but God's desire is to give you things that are going to walk you into your healing. I don't know if you know this, but I've read this thing a lot. You know, there's a lot of There's a lot of highlighted areas in my Bible. And I can tell you more than not, some of these things in here seem like they're backwards to me. Hurt or pray for those who persecute you? Are you kidding me? Right? As I begin to go through here, these things in this Bible that are in here for your healing and for my healing, my flesh wants to rise up against it. But the minute you step into the Spirit and you begin to listen to this thing with your spiritual ears and you begin to apply them to your spiritual life, church, I'm telling you, you will experience freedom in your life. Amen. Listen, God desires you to walk in freedom. Listen to Psalms 147 and 3. He says this. It says He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Psalms 33:11 says this. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purpose of His hearts throughout all generations. Listen, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Church, I believe with my whole heart there's those of you in here today that are going to walk out of here in complete and total freedom. You're going to walk out of here with wounds that you thought would never heal, and they're going to stitch up immediately, and you're going to walk in freedom. But almost instantly, you're going to walk out these doors, and come on. And Satan's going to want to convince you that that wasn't real. He's going to want you to go back and visit those things in your past. And if you do that, you're going to walk right back into slavery. So I'm going to encourage you, when you walk out of here today with your healing, and I believe that you're going to walk out of here with your healing, you're going to walk out and you're never going to look back. You're never going to place those shackles on your arms again. You're never going to put that noose around your neck again, but you're going to walk in freedom, and you're going to use that freedom to set others free out there. Jeremiah 29 and 11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you." He's talking to the Israelites here, declares the Lord. "Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Come on. Listen, he was talking to the Israelites there, but listen, in Psalms it said that. It said, "But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of His heart through all generations." Listen, church, I believe if He planned that and He willed that for the Israelites' life, His plans and His heart remains the same today, and He wants that same thing for you. You say, "Well, Pastor John, that sounds great, but why aren't my wounds healing?" Listen, you can ask my wife. I've spent a lot of time poring over the Word of God and praying and asking God for wisdom and understanding. And here's the things that I feel like God give me. Church, justification is your worst enemy. Justification is your worst enemy. Many of you in here today, you have something going on in your head that you say, "Man, I'm struggling with this. Somebody did me wrong." And if you're not careful, you're going to have these thoughts of justification that says, "You know what? My anger is justified. The things that I'm feeling, it's justified because you don't know what they did to me. I'm justified in the way I feel." Church, that justification does not promote healing in your life. Justification will open the door to unforgiveness and lead to resentment. Resentment untreated will lead to hate. Listen to what Bill Johnson said. He said that hate is murder in diapers. Hate is murder in diapers. Listen, church, Satan wants no more than convince you that your enemy is directly responsible for your misery. Why would he want to do that? He wants to convince you that you're justified in the hate that you feel for that person. Church, you remember that sword we pulled out a while ago? I need you to leave it on the chairs. Listen to what 1 John 3:15 says. It says, anyone who hates a brother or a sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. Church, those are pretty harsh words. Let me ask you something. If Satan wants to convince you to meditate on the things that are causing you to have this justification in your life, justifying the fact that you hate this person, you have the ability, when those thoughts enter your mind, to take them captive. See, but if you allow them thoughts to continue rolling around in your head, they will create a stronghold in your life that it will take a miraculous event to get you out of. And today, we're looking for that miraculous event. Listen, church, what are you meditating on? Listen to what Philippians 4:8 says. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think of such things. Church, your thoughts will become your appetite. Let me read to you Romans 8:5-8. It says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Listen, the mind governed by the flesh, the mind governed by that hate, that mind governed by that resentment is death. Listen, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Church, how many of you want to experience life and peace in your life today? Listen, you must allow your mind to be governed by the Spirit. Otherwise, you're going to produce a fruit that looks nothing like the Spirit. Listen, the mind that is governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Church, do you see what Satan's trying to do here? See, he's trying to create separation between you and your Creator. See, you think that he's worried and trying to convince you that that person did you so wrong and get you to focus your hate on him so that they can pay for their wrongdoing. But that's not what he's trying to do. He's trying to distract you with the fact that every day you live in the flesh, you begin to separate yourself from that life and that peace that only comes from living in the Spirit. Church, if your flesh desires something, you should question it. It's likely to bring death in your life. But check this out. If your flesh screams out against it, listen to it, because the Spirit brings life and peace. Your flesh is going to want to oppose absolutely everything that is in this word right here. So if you feel confident and comfortable in your hate, you should probably question it. If you feel confident and comfortable in your justification, you should probably question it. But if your flesh rises up and says, I will not forgive that person, let me tell you something, the Spirit of God is working inside you. Because your flesh wants to rise up against it, I'm telling you today, you should heed the Spirit. Church, careful asking for justice. Everybody still got their swords laying on the... Church, let me see. How many of y'all in here have ever had somebody do something wrong to you? Raise your hand. You too? Even a pastor? Wow. And a pastor's wife? Was it Jeff? Oh, it wasn't Jeff. It was... No? Okay. Just for the record, if you're watching online, she said it was not Jeff. Church, every one of you, how many of you have experienced that in your life and wanted justice for what took place in your life? Huh? Now some of you's lying. Listen to me. The flesh desires justice. For justice to be just, we must all be judged equally, leaving no room for grace, even in our own lives. So let me explain something to you. The Bible says that when Jesus came and died on the cross for you, he delivered you from the law of sin and death, right? And as long as you walk in the Spirit, you're no longer bound to this law of sin and death. So if I stay on this side, let's say this side is the Spirit, I'm going to stay in the Spirit. See, all the condemnation that come along with the things that I did in my past no longer have control over me. Church, as long as you stay over here in the Spirit, the things that you did in your past and the things that people have done to you, the Bible says that God's delivered you of that law of sin and death. Come on. Well, let me show you what happens when we go to this side. See, there's a story in the Bible. It's about this guy that owed his master some money. He was in debt to his master. And this master was going to make him pay. His debt had come due, and he was going to make him pay and even make his family be slaves and all this stuff. And he goes in and he pleads with his master. Right, we're standing here in sin. God, please forgive me of the things that I've done wrong. I know that the wages of sin is death. God, I don't want to pay for my sins. Please allow your sacrifice to be more than enough to cover the sin in my life. And it said that master looked at him and he had pity on him, just like Jesus has looked at you and had pity on you. Just like Jesus looked into my life and he said, John, that's some pretty rough stuff, but you know what? I'm going to have pity on you and I'm going to forgive you of your sins. See, this guy all of a sudden is walking over here in freedom from the law because his master forgave him of his sins. He said, you know what? I'll take all that debt and I'll place it on my shoulders. You're free. You can go. The Bible says that guy walks out into the street. Remember, he's walking in freedom from life and of from the law of life and death. He's walking in freedom. And it says he walks out in the streets and he sees somebody that owed him money. Guess what, church? He's walking over here. He said, I want that guy put in prison. I want him to pay for every debt that he owed me. Do not give him freedom until he's paid me in full. Right? See, he went from walking in freedom to walking in justice. And here's what justice says. In order for justice to be just, it has to be blind. That means if I put a thief in jail, in order for justice to be just, guess what? Whenever I was a kid, I stole out of some kids' backpacks. They're Christmas presents, actually. That should be even a worse crime. Whenever I went to that court to file charges on that guy, and God told me, John, don't you do it. I felt justified. God, that guy stole $2,000 off of my job site. I hate thieves. God says, I love thieves. He says, John, you can do it. It's your right. If you want to prosecute that guy, in order for justice to be just, you're going to bring condemnation upon yourself. See, if you've ever lied, if you've ever stolen, if you've ever done things in secret that nobody knows about, God knows about it. So let's imagine this for a moment. We're standing here and I say, God, Waylon did me wrong. He stole from me. I want him to go to jail. God says, okay, right? See the woman standing there with the scales in her hand? Justice is just and it's equal. So if I'm going to judge him, John, I'm going to have to judge you equally. Whatever, God. Nobody ever seen me still. Get him. Poof. Guess what? Guess where we both end up? We both end up behind them bars. See, as long as I'm walking over here and I'm asking for justice, I'm asking God to judge me equally. But if I want to live free from that law, I've got to walk in this law over here that says I'm going to walk in grace and mercy. And whenever I walk in grace and mercy, church, whenever grace and mercy is given to you, it's required of you. Romans 4:19 says this. Let me finish that story. Squirrel. So the guy goes out in the street and he has this other man arrested for lesser sin than what he had. And it said one of the servants seen what happened and he went back into the master and he told the master, he said, you know that guy that you forgave of all that stuff that he did or all his debt? He goes, yeah. He just had somebody thrown in jail for doing this less than what he did. Less debt. He couldn't even forgive him. So it says the master brought him back in and said, not only will you pay, but you'll pay with everything. You're going to pay everything back and you will not receive freedom until everything has been paid back in full. Church, don't get so used to living in your freedom that you feel justified to walk over there and walk into justice. Right? See, I asked Pastor Jeff to make me this graphic of a fish sitting in a boat. How many of y'all like to fish? Let me see your hand. I know Walker does. No, Walker doesn't like to fish. Of this fish sitting in a boat with a fishing pole fishing. She's like, you're crazy. I am crazy. Ask my wife. Fish sitting in a boat fishing. The Bible said that Jesus walked up to the disciples and told them that they were going to be fishers of men. See, Jesus caught them and he said, now I'm going to make you fishers of men. See, if we're not careful, whenever we become caught, we think that we automatically change into something different. But really, it's just grace that separates us from the people that are still in the water. See that? See, the fish is sitting up there fishing because he had enough grace in his life. Somebody showed him enough grace that they pulled him out of that water and they stuck him in that boat and they gave him a fishing pole and he said, now save the rest of them. But what happens if that fish says, you know what? I'm justified in my means and I don't like that guy right there. I'm putting my pole up. I'm telling you, if I was Jesus, throw that sucker back in the water. Right? Catch and release. You don't want to be a catch and release. I want to be caught by Christ and I want to be used by Christ. I'm trying to be real careful. Last week they told me I snorted a lot in the microphone. I'm just telling you, my nose don't get snotty till I get up here. Luke 6:27-28 says this. Man, I got all kinds of time. I was worried about that baptism. We got time to swim laps and everything in there. But to you who are listening, I say, church, this is your prescription. This is a hard pill to swallow right here. I know, I've done it. Listen, put on your spiritual ears. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. What? I ain't praying for nobody that mistreated me. And if that's not bad enough, listen to what Luke 6:30 says. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Listen, I'm just telling you right now, if that guy that was in the freedom knew that by bringing condemnation on the guy that stole from him was going to put him back into condemnation, no way he would have brought condemnation on him. That guy would have remained right here in freedom, and he'd have brought him over here with him. Church, we must forgive and not expect anything in return. Listen, Jesus on the cross disarmed hate when he prayed for those who killed him. Right? You say, how do you say all that stuff? You know, you're a preacher, you ain't ever been through nothing. Let me tell you something. I stand up here as a testimony that forgiveness goes a long ways. Church, I thought I was hurting somebody else, but I wasn't hurting nobody but myself. See, I didn't realize that the pain that I was living in was my own condemnation, which seems unfair. I get it. Keep your swords on the ground. I get it. It seems unfair, but whenever you walk in that hate, it says that you're no different than a murderer. And if I'm walking as a murderer, Christ isn't in me. And when Christ isn't in me, I'm living in condemnation. I'm no longer living in the freedom that I get whenever I'm walking in the Spirit. But here's the thing. It's the hardest thing you will ever do in your life. But it is the most effective thing you'll ever do in your eternity. Here's what I want to encourage you. Right now, some of you are like, you have a name in your head. You know what I had to do? I had to start praying. Every time Satan would try to bring condemnation against somebody, I would pray for that person. God bless that person. God, I pray that you use that person. God, I pray that your will be done in their life, not my will. And you know what I found started to happen? Nothing. So you know what I did? Get up next day. God, I pray for this person. God, I pray for these people. God, I pray over Pastor Jeff because he told me I played one too many bad notes. You know what he did? He told me again. So I would get up and I would pray, God, please, please bless this person. You know what? Even with sin in my life, you know what I've started doing? I've started coating everything with this salve of prayer. You can't see it, but I got so much salve all over me that I should be glowing up here. Because on a daily basis, I don't only deal with condemnation and guilt and things that happen in my life or even things that people have done to me, but I still deal with Satan trying to drag me away by the lust of my flesh. And so what I do is every time Satan tries to do that, I begin to notice it. And every time I begin to pray, God, I pray over that person right there. You know what happens? Almost instantly, Satan's mouth is shut. Right? That voice in your ear bringing that justification and that hate, the minute I start praying, I've realized that he's silenced almost instantly. So I would encourage you to do this. If you can do nothing else that scripture talks about, I would ask you to start to pray. In all situations, start to pray, and I'm telling you, you will begin to see the enemy's mouth will be shut. When that happens, you'll begin to notice things that start to come into mind. Maybe I could bless that person. No, I'm not blessing that person. Who was that said that? Pray, God. I don't know what it is you're asking me to do, but I pray right now that you give me the strength to do whatever it is. God, I come against my flesh in the name of Jesus. Flesh, you have no right to control me any longer. Go bless that person. What? Church, that is your flesh coming against every ounce of the Spirit that's telling you to do what's going to bring you freedom. It's crazy. When we feed people, we get fed. When we give our life, we receive our life. When we give mercy, we receive mercy. But there's a flip side to that coin. When we give condemnation, we receive condemnation. When we give unforgiveness, we receive unforgiveness. Now, I'm telling you, church, I don't want to live on that side any longer. And I can guarantee you there's not a one person in here that would raise their hand and say, Pastor John, listen, I like living in bondage. I like living in unforgiveness. I like where I'm at. No, I guarantee you every one of you have been doing just what I was doing. God, please, I need you to help me get me out of this. I'm not created for hate. Start to pray, and when the Spirit tells you to do something, you do it. God desires your freedom. Remember this, the flesh will oppose your healing. Prayer will silence the enemy. Forgiveness will set you free. And your action will solidify your forgiveness. True forgiveness sets us free from the power of the law. Would you guys stand with me?